Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
You know, you win some, you lose some, and the Army team has lost more than we've won. But it's okay. We're going to bounce back. We're still going to beat Navy. And, you know, it's interesting listening to all the people on Twitter and Instagram and everything tell me, oh, you need to start, you know, have Mike Buddy on the show and tell him you need to fire Jeff Munkin. Like,
oh my God.
Seriously, he is the second most winning coach in Army football history, and you want to fire him because he's having a bad year? Like, ridiculous. Like, get a hobby, get something else to, like, fulfill your time. Get a dog that you can pour your life into because you, like, obsessing over something you can't control, like, it's not healthy. I'm not a doctor, but it's not healthy. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan. I am on the road for work in Milwaukee, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in North Carolina. Trying to keep it short this week, so I'm not going to ask you guys how you are. Dan, why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
Yo, man, we are sponsored by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point Class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. He's in the top, like, 1.5%. He's got super competitive rates. He's going to give you the very best deal he can. And I don't know if you guys have bought a house, but this mortgage process is freaking crazy. It is so confusing. And they hit you with, like, legitimately 2 inches of paper that you have to read and sign in like 15 minutes. And let me tell you, that is not the time to go with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off you. You're going to wind up selling your firstborn child without even realizing it. Instead of doing that, go with somebody who actually cares, who's not a call center, who's not some random big box bank, some mindless website, some bank that wants to rip your face off. Go with Craig Oxane, West Point graduate. Friends, this is how the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we are trying as hard as we freaking can to help you get a deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you meet. And Craig does not charge lenders lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. That's like $1,300. If $1,300 is not a lot of money to you, Venmo it to me right freaking now. I understand that they're just going to roll it into your loan. You won't necessarily notice it every month, but yo, $1,300 is a lot of money. Anyway, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. He's links on our website. Go to askforfootball.com. Can't miss it. Fill out a quick questionnaire. You'll be talking to the guy on the phone in a couple of hours. It's super easy. It is super easy. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, Craig's a good guy. Make sure you check him out. We're going to try to move quickly through this. Like I said, it was ugly. Army lost to Wake Forest 45-10. Looking at the box score, it doesn't look that bad, but the devil is in the details. We were so close so many times to turning this around, giving them a run for their money, maybe you're shifting the momentum. And that's kind of been the story all year of we just don't execute and we don't, you know, seize opportunities when they're presented to us. And then we, like, force errors on ourselves. And because of that, we only rushed for 225 yards on 53 carries, which is 4.3 yards per carry, which is pretty good. We had the ball for 35 minutes, blown out by 5 touchdowns, but 35 minutes, that's not bad. Quarterbacks went 10 through 21 through the air for 182 yards, a touchdown and interception. Jamel Jones in particular played really well. Dan, I know you've been a big believer in Jones for the last 2 years. I know you might not have watched the game being up on the mountain, but, you know, watching the recap, watching him play, was it kind of everything you hoped and dreamed for?
I mean, the dude has all the tools, right? When we first saw him hit the stage there in the game at Hawaii in the 2019 season, I thought for sure that he was the quarterback of the future. And, you know, I don't know if he's quite, you know, played up to the level that we expected, but he has all the tools. You know, he's the biggest guy in the quarterback room, throws it as well as anybody. You know, he's really good runner. I mean, yeah, I'd like to see more of Jones, and I don't necessarily mean that to take carries away from, you know, Tyre Tyler or Cade Bauer, but I would, you know, he's a senior. This is his time. I'm not surprised he played well. I hope he gets more opportunities.
Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't just him that played well. Slot back Adrian Marshall took 3 carries for 44 yards. Tyrell Robinson, potential leg injury, lower leg injury. Not sure his status, but expect to see more Adrian Marshall throughout the rest of the season. Isaiah Alston had a career day, 7 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Defensively, Leo Lowen led the team with 11 tackles, 6 solo, and Mikael Broughton had 10 tackles, 6 solo. Rob, we have a potential first-round draft pick on the defensive line, and, you know, Leo Lowen's getting 11 tackles. What do you make of that dynamic? You know, Andre Carter came into the season with so much hype and promise, and he still has all of that. But it's almost like, you know, he's kind of taking a dive so other people can prosper. You know, he's eating up the double teams. Offenses are clearly queuing on him, and this is allowing other guys to play well. Is that what you're seeing schematically, or do you think there's something else going on?
I think you're right. Is like, yes, for sure. Like, the defensive line is actually playing better. And the reason why is because our linebackers are starting to get tackles. Leo Lowen looks like a monster out there. You know, so he's stepping up to be like the next Captain America, like, you know, a Cole Christensen or, you know, any of the other guys that have played middle linebacker at Army over the years. He's starting to come into his own as a middle linebacker. Like, Andre Carter was in position to make some outstanding plays throughout the course of the game. And literally the only thing that I would say from a coaching standpoint, if I was a coach, I was like, hey, don't run to where the ball is, run to the mesh point where it's going. Like, that would be the only thing that I would change as far as technique is concerned, because there were points where he had wrapped up both the ball carrier and the quarterback, and he had handed the ball off, and the ball carrier was able to freaking scoot away from him just because of, you know, the quarterback turned and blocked him at the same time. So he's soaking up a lot of blocks. You're getting some really good play out of Chris Frey and Kabina Bonsu. So the line is actually stepping up. The difficulty that we're having now is too many one-on-one tackles. And so there's too many one-on-one tackles. Guys are like standing in the hole and not getting the opportunity to finish. And we've seen that through college football over the years. Some programs like literally send their dudes to off-season rugby practice so they can get better at like wrapping and rolling to tackle folks. Maybe that's something that we need to entertain, because right now, what I don't see, and, you know, and I wrote it in the piece too, is like, I don't see 6 or 7 jerseys flying through the football. I see like 1 or 2. And when that happens, if it's a one-on-one, somebody gets shaken and the dude's, you know, 20 yards deep and you're trying to run him down at an angle. So I think that's the biggest drawback that I see, is just they're not playing team defense. Like, people are playing their roles, but when, you know, I get past the blocker or I'm out of position or whatever, guys aren't turning and running and pursuing to get to the football. And I think that's more frustration than it is talent or effort.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I'll leave it at that. We can revisit that in a second. So those were, I guess, the highs, if you want to call them that. On the lows, we fumbled on the opening drive of the Wake Forest 13, wasted the drive and a 47-yard pass to Tyrell Robinson. We threw an interception, failed twice on fourth down conversions. We let Wake run for 220 yards. They went 4 for 9 on third downs, but only 1 for 3 on fourth down, so I guess that's good. And we had 6 penalties for 36 yards. I'll give my thoughts after the guys, but on the surface, this team looks undisciplined and unmotivated, and that's unfortunate. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Well, let me just say, we're going to talk about this a little bit more later, but I don't think that they are unmotivated. I think they're extremely motivated. It's definitely not a question of motivation. But anyway, like you said, I didn't see the game, you know, for better or worse, probably for the better, honestly. We went up to Vermont for Oktoberfest at Mount Snow. Long, long day. If you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen this. Got a flat tire on the way up. By the time we got there, freaking Mount Snow had run out of beer. So then we get to the lodge. I realize that there's not enough freaking internet connectivity to listen to the game on the Varsity app, which is what I've been planning to do. So I'm like following along on the ESPN Gamecast as best I can. Went out to dinner and I've got the phone literally sitting on there watching, you know, as the plays roll in. My wife was really gracious about it, but I just was like, this is ridiculous. I have to put this away. And, you know, not a bad weekend by any means, but I got to say, I made a conscious effort not to let little things bother me. And there were quite a few little things, both inside and outside the world of Army football. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. So you kind of push back on what I said of they're not motivated. And everyone every year says, oh, you can't criticize the players or the coaches because, you know, they want to win more than anybody else. And yeah, you know what? They probably do. They're a lot more invested in winning the game than we are. But Dan, if I'm being just totally honest and candid, and I'm going to get crucified for this, week to week, it doesn't look like the whole team actually wants to win the football game. So
yeah, I don't think that's what I'm seeing. And we're going to talk about this. Oh, I had it in the notes for later, but I guess we'll just drop it now. Like, you know, Coach Monken looks exhausted. And I've been in enough Army units to know that when the guy at the top of the food chain looks exhausted and the guys at the bottom of the food chain look like they don't know what they're supposed to do, then that means that there's a breakdown somewhere in the middle, right? And, you know, like, I don't want to name names, and I don't even if we wanted to name names, I'm not sure that we have enough information. But from the bleachers, it looks like the head coach is trying to cover for some of his position coaches who aren't getting it done. And so I don't know which position coaches listen to this show, but yo, y'all need to start doing your jobs and stop wearing out my head coach, because we're going to need him in the future. And I'm just saying, some of you are coaching for your freaking careers right now. You're going to wind up selling insurance at the end of the season if you're not careful.
Ow. Wow. Okay. Dan went a different direction. I don't think you're wrong. I mean, you're clearly something has broken down, because this team, this coaching staff has a track record of success. And so by no means am I saying, oh, let's pull in Nebraska and fire Scott Frost, or let's fire, like, you know, I'm not saying that we need to fire our coaches or anything like that by any means. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Monken could be the coach at Army for the rest of his career. Like,
he's a known quantity. We know what he can do. I mean, there's no question what Jeff Monken can do. We've all seen that. You know, yeah, but we also know that they brought on a bunch of new coaches right, yeah, you know, late in the process, and it's chaos. And, you know, I don't know whose fault it is. Like, I'm not in the meeting rooms. Just telling you, like, sort of, if the top guy looks exhausted and the bottom guys look like they don't know what they're doing, that means the sergeants are, like, screwing around. We all know this. We're all West Pointers.
Yeah. Dan, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick. And I'm, again, not going to name any names, but there are 6 new coaches in position at Army. Right. So you think about 6 new coaches, and now you're bringing all these disparate backgrounds together. It's like, you know, if we think about military missions, one of the most least successful missions that we've had in recent memory have been MIT teams. Right. Because we go out to the Army, we pick up all these different people from all these different MOSs, throw them through a 2-week training course and say, hey, go out and do great things. And track record proves that it doesn't work because we have the SFABs now. Right. So thinking of it from a perspective of, like, just keeping it in the military brain, you can't have a pickup team and be successful. Even though you have the entire offseason to kind of work through things, the system is different. The scheme is different. The athletes are different from the schools that they came from to the school that they're at now. So regardless of which coach is doing what, the bottom line is your players are different. Your techniques may have to be different. And, oh, by the way, kids are probably smarter at West Point, slightly more disciplined than some kids at other universities. So you may just have to do a little bit more studying with them rather than using your old technique that you used at your previous school. And not to pile on the coaches or bash those dudes, because I think, like, they're doing the best that they can. The players can only do so much, and coaches have to put all the other pieces in place, because the blocking, the tackling, and, you know, the running is based on the players, but the coaches have to do something to put those guys in better position. And, you know, it could go either way. I'm not on any train of firing any coaches just yet, but I think they need to gel a little bit better. And maybe this is the season that they do it. And it sucks that we're running 3 to get to that point, but maybe this is something that all the coaches need to be like, okay, we need to get our crap together because we're letting our team down. Whether that be player-wise or coach-wise, it doesn't matter. But the team is being let down because people are not playing together. But I'll stop there.
Yeah, and Rob, you said something in there, or maybe it was Dan, but like when I say it doesn't look like people want to win, it's when people aren't lined up correctly and they miss blocks, miss tackles, and then just have stupid mistakes. Like, you know, we have players who have not fumbled the ball in 3 years, and then all of a sudden this year are fumbling left and right. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exactly – we're talking about the same thing. We're just attributing it to a different source. I agree completely. You got a guy who has never lost a yard, barely ever fumbled in his career, and all of a sudden dropping the ball all over the place. Like, what's changed?
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point is, like, you know, I definitely think the coaching is part of it, for better or worse. And you know what? Like, this is an investment year. That's fine. Like, we need to have a strategic long-term perspective with this. Invest in these coaches. You can get the job done. If that means we got a bad year this year, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But then on the other side, it's like, okay, we have people who've shown that they can play, are proven playmakers, could play at the next level, are some of the best at their position in the country. And then all of a sudden this year are standing on the field looking around like, you know, they've never been there before. And so that's when I say, like, it doesn't look like people want to win, is when people are out making stupid mistakes and, you know, doing things that they should know better, and they should know better because they played high school football. They've played here for the last 3 years. So that's that.
Let's move on to the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's enough. I put it on the outline. We talked about it. Let's just move on.
All right. So the good, Jamel Jones played really well. We finally got to see him play, like Dan said. Went 4 for 9, 100 yards and a touchdown, 6 carries for 24 yards. Yeah, he was playing against the backups at Wake Forest, but overall, I think the play was very encouraging. And, you know, it's almost like ironic, tragic, whatever it is. We have Tyre Tyler, who has us blocked on Twitter, fun fact. Jamel Jones and Cade Ballard, who are all seniors this year and all fantastic quarterbacks, but this is their last year. And it's good that we have such talent, but it's also unfortunate that they're all seniors and we're all going to lose them in, you know, a couple months at the end of the year. And that's just the way it is. But it has been cool to see Jones kind of, you know, wait for his turn and then go out and make the most of an opportunity. Dan, over to you for the bad.
Yeah, man. First off, Rob says he's not blocked. So anyway. What are you going to do, man? I would encourage all the Army players not to listen to this show. Listen to your coaches. Don't listen to us. Anyway, bad. Man, these turnovers are killing this team. If you gain 407 yards of total offense and 19 first downs, you have got to get more than 10 points. And the reason that you don't score more than 10 points is freaking turnovers. Army is -5 on the season. They are 118th in FBS. Only 9 teams have been worse in terms of turnovers. So that tells you everything that you need to know. Missed a 40-yard field goal, punting an average of 37 yards per kick. I put that in for James, who is up in the air right now with the Navy. And rushing defense still giving up 200 yards on 5-plus yards per carry. So, you know, somebody's got to help somebody. Either the rushing defense has got to make up for these turnovers, or they got to stop turning the ball over so that they can give this defense a chance. Doing both, that ain't the plan.
Yeah. Rob, what's the ugly?
All right, so the ugly is the injury to Tyrell Robinson. He went down pretty hard. It looked like some kind of lower extremity injury. I'm not a doctor. I can't, you know, determine what it is from sitting in this on the sidelines, but hopefully it's not too severe. Maybe it's just, you know, a bad sprain and it's going to take him out a couple of weeks. If it's something worse than that, then we may not see him for the rest of the year, which would be unfortunate. But, you know, A'Shaun Marshall did step up, so there is hope there. There's light there. When a guy gets injured and another person steps up and does it, I think that's great. But again, that was one of the ugly things. And for God's sakes, and I'm going to go on a small rant here, because, like, I am not a fan of the RPO. And the reason why I'm not a fan of the RPO is because there's holding on every play. And when I say that, I'm okay with it inside the pads. I think everybody pretty much knows, you know, there's going to be some hand fighting on the defense and offensive line. However, when I can see a big black Wake Forest mitt in the center numbers of an Army football jersey and they have no penalties thrown, it is incredibly frustrating, particularly when you already are struggling as a team just to execute some of the things. And some of those execution problems could be linked to the penalties that are happening that are not being called. Can't put it solely on that. However, it makes it a little bit more difficult for you to do your job when you're being tackled by the opposing offense. And so that was ugly as well. I did see a pretty generous spot towards the end of the game, so I'm going to give the ACC ref some credit for that. But I think it was just because, like, hey, if we give them the first down, the clock will keep moving, and we can get out of here and make our dinner reservations, which is unfortunate. But I will say that the injury to Tyrell Robinson was that, and you know, it was in the bad, but I'm going to say ugly, you know, minus five turnover ratio. And again, the defense was on the field for 64 plays this game. We've got to get it under 40. If we can do that, time of possession, and then score, it increases the chances of winning. And I will pass it over to Jordan for good to bet or fact or fiction.
Quick story. While we're talking about dinner reservations, we did not have a dinner reservation on Friday. We went to this pub after the Mount Snow ran out of beer, and we're just sitting there. And, you know, guy and his wife walk up. We start talking, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I made this reservation at this fancy restaurant, but we're not going to go there. We're going to eat here." So, you know, we're like, "Well, what's your name?" He's like, "Joe." "Well, what time's your reservation?" He's like, 8:15. So we walked in there at 8:15, and we're like, "Reservation for Joe." Anyway, thankfully, that's how we got dinner.
Good for you, Dan.
Yeah.
Good for you. Sneaking in.
We used his reservation. I mean, he gave us permission. We just, you know, his reservation. We didn't steal it. He gave it to us. We outsmarted. We outflanked the line, of which it was very long line.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. Fact or fiction. Dan said Army holds Wake to less than 5 yards of carry. That was fiction. James is the only got points on that. Rob said Army quarterbacks score 2 passing touchdowns. That was fiction. Dan gets a point. Then James says Markell Broughton over 0.5 interceptions. That was fiction. So Dan and James are the only ones who got points last week. Thankfully, I wasn't on the show. I was in Dublin. Otherwise, I probably would be negative 53 on the season. So, do you like Army football but hate social media? I mean, who doesn't? Social media is terrible. Don't argue with NavyDaddy69 on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, whatever. It's useless. You're not going to learn anything. Go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. We send out one email per week with links to that week's content. That's it. It's too easy. Keep up with Army sports and Ask for Football. askforfootball.com/subscribe. So, we are finally catching a break this week. Honestly, I think it's going to be good to kind of take a tactical pause and regroup, and we're going to go play Colgate. They're 1-4. They lost to Stanford. They beat Maine. Then they've lost to Penn, Holy Cross, and Cornell. I think they're a halfway decent team. Things just aren't really gelling for them. Things aren't gelling for us. It's almost been kind of a perfect storm of everything from, you know, poor officiating to lack of execution. Everything has kind of worked against us this season. So maybe this is where we're going to kind of be able to turn the corner and get a little bit of momentum and have things kind of start clicking. You know, Captain Collins from Barstool said on Twitter, you know, people are either sitting in the foxhole or they're running for the hills. I'll be fortifying the foxhole. So here at Ask for Football, we're going to do the same thing. We believe that the players are going to do the same thing. You know, all the debate we have is in the spirit of transparency and just to have the conversation. Truly, honestly, hoping that this is the week that we kind of get things together. So, Dan, with that said, over to you to talk through the offense.
Yeah, man. Well, stop me if you've heard this one. This week we are facing a run-first, option-based offense intended to set up a downfield passing game. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, I guess, Colgate is not a great rushing team, and they're not completing a lot of balls downfield either. Quarterback Michael Brescia is 60 of 131 for 577 yards. Friends, that is just less than 46% completion percentage, with 3 interceptions and 16 sacks. He's also leads the team with 76 carries for 260 yards. That's just less than 3.5 yards per carry. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns. Their top 2 running backs are averaging about 4.5 to 5.5 yards per carry. Top 3 receivers are averaging between 10 and 16 yards per catch. So they do occasionally get open downfield, but it's just, you know, 3 interceptions, 16 sacks, no touchdown passes, running for 3.5 yards per carry. Like, this is not a lot of offense, you know, like it or lump it.
All right. And defensively, Rob, what are we going to be up against?
All right, defense. So they have a decent rushing defense, but they're getting torched through the air. So they're not very good in the red zone either. So that's good news for Army. They're allowing 131.4 rushing yards per game. That's just under 4 yards per carry. I think we can bust that open to about 5 or 6. The bad news is they've only given up 262, or they've given up 262 yards of passing, but they give up approximately 400 yards total offense on both games. So opponents are 16 for 22 in the red zone for touchdowns. They're 3 for 22 and trips to the red zone for field goals. So 19 of 22, that's just over, you know, right around 90% of scoring every time somebody gets into the red zone. So odds are if Army gets into the red zone offensively, they're going to score some kind of points. Two of their top four tacklers are linebackers. The other two are DBs. Bottom line is safety. Mikey J is going to be his name, because I'm not going to try and butcher that one, is coming down all the time. And he's going to be trying to stack the box. So again, Army has a great opportunity to open up the playbook a little bit and throw deep on these guys, because their safeties are going to be crashing, but they don't have the same level of athletes that we've seen in the defensive secondary as other teams. I'll go into special teams as well. So you got Spencer Bisco. He's 7 for 7 on extra points, and then he's 7 for 10 on field goals with misses at 30 plus 40 and 50 yards. And their punter is averaging about 35 yards per punt. So all that being said, is Army's got to take advantage of the red zone opportunities and score when they're available. And that's it. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah. Rob, that's kind of been one of the themes of the season, is we can't get off the field on defense, and then we can't finish drives on offense. We get down to the 5-yard line, and then we can't get in the end zone. Or we get on the 1-yard line, it takes 4 tries to get in. So hopefully we can kind of get some momentum and some confidence this week and finish some drives. That'd be good to see. Dan, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
It's just a terrible matchup for Colgate. I mean, it's really awful. And I have nothing bad to say about Colgate. I remember a couple of years ago, they had a really good team and played a pretty high stakes November contest at Mikey Stadium that went down to the wire, but that's not what we're going to see this week. You know, their rushing defense is okay, but Army's been running on actively good rushing defenses with regularity, and their rushing attack, which is what's been killing Army, is not great. And It's just not going to be a good matchup at all. You know, I don't know what you're expecting, but I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, the back end guys. I forget that plebe quarterback's name, the quarterback of the future, but I expect we'll see him for more than one series.
All right, Rob, what do you think?
Yeah,
what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think offensively, here's your chance to open up the playbook. You know, if there's something that you want to get out of your base offense, like, try it this week, because I think you're going to have some opportunities there. Hey, maybe pull out a trick play or two, because, these guys are getting burned deep. So, you know, QB option pass or freaking halfback throwback might be something in the works that we could try. But also, I think based off of how we performed in the Wake Forest game, like, Wake is a tough defense, but we were able to pass on them. So if we were able to get 182 yards on a halfway decent defense that, you know, the secondary is their primary defensive force, I think that's good for us. And hey, balanced offense. You know, it's rarely, if ever, if we see Army have a balanced offense. It came very, very close this past weekend. And so I'd like to see, you know, maybe a little bit more balance. Like, yeah, it's nice to beat up on a team and just do solid, you know, Army offense for, you know, 400 plus yards of rushing. But if these guys are that wide open or that loose inside the 20s, you know, try it, you know, between the 20s. And then as you get into the red zone, tighten up and run the ball. Defensively, I think this is a great opportunity for the defense to kind of step up and get some turnovers and start closing that gap on that turnover margin, because, you know, this quarterback has been rattled. He's got 16 sacks and 3 picks. And again, if we can get Andre Carter loose, like it may have a career day, or if they can't get Carter loose, then some of these other guys can step up in some different packages or change some angles and just have a good, solid defensive performance. I'd like to see a shutout. I think it's definitely within the realm of the possible. I mean, look at what they did to Villanova a couple of weeks ago. So I think it's definitely a game that you can, you know, really hunker down, bite down on the mouthpiece, use some of the things that you corrected from the previous weeks, and, you know, walk off the field with your head held high because you played a good, solid team and had a solid performance.
Yeah, I don't care if we shut them out or blow them out. This needs to be the game where it's going to be our reset. It's our midseason reset. We're going to win this game, and then we're not going to lose another game for the rest of the year. That's what I want to see.
Word.
I don't know if it's going to happen, but let's see.
It's going to happen. I believe it. Let's do it. I say yes.
It's speaking into existence.
Yeah, so, run the table.
By the way, while I'm thinking about it, quarterback of the future, Bryson Daly, he's a yearling.
Yeah, he's a good kid. My brother and him are pretty close. So, good kid, good family. Let's go ahead and let's move on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Fact or fiction, Army gets enough turnovers to get back to even in turnover margin on the year. Friends, that will require 5. Ooh. Rob.
Yeah, I'm going to say fiction, but I like the way you think.
Jordan.
Fiction as well.
I'm going to say fact, man.
Dude, these guys Dan is all in on the optimism.
These guys have thrown 3 interceptions already. I think we can double that and force a couple of fumbles. We're going to fix that turnover margin in 1 week. It's my wish for this team.
All right. Rob, what do you got?
Army fullbacks will score 3 touchdowns this week. I'm not going to say how. I'm just going to say they're going to get 3.
I'll take fact on that. Please, God, for the fullback throwing touchdown.
I'm going to say fiction only because I think we're going to see a lot of quarterback keeper and kind of that zone read. So, especially in short yardage.
I got to say our quarterbacks running off tackle have been money all season. Like, that play has just been incredible all season. Yeah,
the midline has looked pretty awesome. And one of the things that they did this last game that helped set it up was a lot of the shifting motion. So they went from, you know, your standard flex bone into the unbalanced set. And then you kind of flowed right into the midline option. So it was good. I'm still going to say fact on that. I think, you know, because there's so many problems in the red zone, it's an opportunity for our fullbacks to kind of break loose. And we've had some breakout fullback moments so far this season. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jacoby Buchanan gets like a short one. And, you know, some of the other guys break for some of the longer runs and maybe get a good 30 yarder, just break away. Because again, I don't think that they have the athletes in the secondary to close with, even the fullbacks that we have in Army.
So speaking of breaking away, Rob, you know, way to steal my thunder. My fact or fiction is that Army will have a play of greater than 50 yards.
That's, I'll take fact. That's going to be a fumble return for a touchdown.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take that. I'll take that on. I'll raise it and say on defense.
Oh boy. Okay.
There's your bonus.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah. I would not be surprised though to see a pick six. To be honest, given the way that quarterback is playing, if he's hitting 40% of his passes, that is definitely within the realm of the possible. So you may not be wrong, Dan.
If Marquell Broughton doesn't score a touchdown this week of greater than 50 yards, I'll be sad. We're on your side there, Marquell.
It's going to be 48, and I'm going to have to send him a steak if he does that. So there are some mail delivery steak places, so we can hook that up pretty easily.
There you go. All right, so let's close it out. I have a favorite thing, Dan or Rob. You guys have favorite things?
I just want to mention that we have a new sponsor, Buyer Barn. We're working on getting the logo and like there's some technical stuff with getting them linked in, but we have a new title sponsor on Astro Football. We're going to have them on the bye week ahead of Air Force. I'm very excited about it. Rob brought them in. That is definitely my favorite thing. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking about that and kind of understanding more of the business. It's
wild. It's really interesting, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. So my favorite thing, you know, I'm on the flight. Well, excuse me. Let me backtrack. So Sunday afternoon, walking the Beltline in Atlanta. We're doing a charity walk for one of our clients. I'm, you know, wearing the race t-shirt and, you know, I'm walking my 3 miles or whatever it is. See a girl and a guy younger. Where he's wearing Naval Academy shorts that look like PT shorts. She's wearing a sweatshirt. So we're walking right next to him. I go, hey, go Army. And the girl looks over and kind of wrinkles up her nose at me. And so I may or may not have said some unkind words to her. Well, yeah, that was a little frustrating. And then last night, Monday night, I'm in the Atlanta airport and I see this lady walking around with a Naval Academy sweatshirt. I say, hey, go Army. And she looks at me like I have four heads and just keeps walking. So I'm thinking, well, what the hell is, what is wrong with me and what is wrong with these fans? Get on the plane, sitting in first class, you know, getting my little drink in a real glass, which was very nice. First time flying first class in a while. And get off the plane, and the guy walks up to me. He's like, oh, excuse me, sir, are you a West Point grad? I go, yeah, you're class of 18. You know, we're doing the small talk back and forth. Oh, what about you? So, oh, I have three kids who went to the Naval Academy. Like, oh, here we go. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, one of my sons is with 160 SOAR now. And, you know, my daughter-in-law is with MARSOC doing admin stuff. And my other son's doing that. Like, you know, Marine Corps, cool guy. And so we're kind of going back and forth, but, you know, swapping war stories and whatever else. And as we're kind of walking out of the terminal, he goes, hey, if you ever get hungry, you know, it's on me. And he hands me a Mission Barbecue gift card. I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, kind of on brand. I was like, no, I can't take this. He's like, no, seriously, I got plenty of them. Don't worry about it. I was like, all right, well, what do you do for work? I've already told you about me. Turns out he is Bill Krause, founder and CEO of Mission Barbecue.
Oh, cool. So, very nice.
He next to me on the plane, had no idea, came up to me, and he's up here in Milwaukee doing a ribbon cutting somewhere in northern Illinois. So small cool. World, great guy. So there are good Navy fans out there, believe it or not. And he shared, I guess they did their company retreat a couple weeks or months ago in New York, and Jeff Munkin was actually one of the speakers. So
that's cool.
Good. Really cool guy. If you haven't gone to Mission Barbecue, you should check it out. They have really good food. So, well,
Jordan, man, you've been in Milwaukee so much, you're almost ready to open a brewery.
Dude, I know. I will say, you know, it's starting to get cold up here, which I'm not thrilled about, but they have really good food and really good beer up here. And that's about it. But, you know, it's not bad.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I guess we'll wrap the show up. You know, didn't go as short as we wanted to, but what else is new? So go Army, beat Colgate.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. BuyerBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to BuyerBarn.com/military. That's BuyerBarn, BuyerBarn.com to learn more, or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.